The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
What animals can sense things that you and I can't? What animal might use infrared vision to see? What animal could bite a 10-foot crocodile in half? Well, the man with the answers about animals with superpowers is Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, Luke O'Neill. Luke, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, they do have powers that we don't have, some.
The wacky world of animals, isn't it great,
yeah,
Pat? Yeah,
absolutely.
We love animals, don't we? And all that. We think we're superior to them, you know. We often think we're better, but they're not. They've got all these senses. They can sense all these things that we can't, you know, and have all these funny traits. And, of course, the one we like, first of all, Pat, is the bat. Bats are great, fantastic creatures, you see, and they've all these special, almost special powers in a way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they fly, they're blind, number one, as we would have it, but they do navigate very successfully
What? They've got sonar, you see, and they can send out these beams of sound and echolocate where they are. But the big one they've discovered recently, Pat, is they can smell blood. The vampire bat can smell blood at 300 feet away, right?
Ooh.
Now, how it does it is, it's got in its nose, it's got heat sensors, very sensitive for heat, and because blood's a bit hot, you know, and it might sense a cow walking nearby from the heat coming off the blood and then fly in and suck all the blood from the cow. And that was a very elaborate process that was specific to the bat.
All sorts of things have different kind of vision. Pit vipers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
what are they?
Infrared, you
infrared.
See, when it's dark. Yes, exactly. Yeah, their range of vision is much wider than us, you see. And that's to go after prey, of course, at night. They can see certain creatures and then go and eat them, you know. So that's another example.
Bees don't see as we do.
No, they don't. And in fact, the funny colours, you know, and of course, bees fly looking for flowers. You know,
yeah.
And the way they perceive the world is very different to us, and again, very sensitive. You know, and clearly, evolution is the reason for this. Of course, evolution has sculpted all these different traits, and of course, bees in particular are very sophisticated.
So, their eyesight has evolved to see flowers.
Absolutely,
like even a tiny flower in the middle of a clump.
Yeah,
they'll find it,
and it might look dull to us. You see, it might be less bright to us, but their vision makes it shine like a beacon, and they can fly over and get the nectar out of it.
An electric eel, it's not an animal or creature that I have contemplated much. It's got a superpower.
Well, the wonderful electricity sensing, it can set off these sparks, you see.
Yeah.
Build up a huge charge. And then obviously it's doing it to electrocute, you know, its prey when it wants to eat something. So it's a wonderful example of using electricity. The other one I like better about is spiders. Did you know spiders can be electric as well? And spiders can generate a negative charge in hairs on their legs, right? So
yeah.
Their legs become very negative and get sucked up into the clouds, which might be more positive, and then travel. You know, they're using electricity in a way, you know, to travel through
the
air.
The sheet web spider.
The sheet web spider. It is recorded to have travelled 1,000 miles very quickly, simply by changing charge in hairs on its legs. You see,
the catfish.
Yeah.
Has powers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the catfish, again, a very sensitive thing again. Catfish can sense all the, again, it's all about hunting, remember. And again, it can sense charge changes. It can sense temperature changes, Pat, which is a big thing as well, by the way. It can get little sensors that can pick up those changes as well. So it's able to pick up very small changes, which are, you know, human, we've invented machines to do this, remember. They can sense temperature changes, but these animals can do it much more
sophisticated. And things like smell, we have these devices that airport security will use now to sniff out explosives, but some creatures have an amazing sense of smell.
Yeah, well, your best friend, the dog, Pat, remember.
The bloodhound is
and
amazing.
The bloodhound. Yeah, now those creatures probably are 1,000 times better than us on average, some of these dogs, the smelling things, you see. And it just shows you, doesn't it? They probably have more receptors in their noses, so they can pick up a lot more range of smells as well.
But obviously they don't find smells obnoxious, as, you know, say the smell of poo, for example, which or farts in a lift, that kind of thing.
Doesn't bother them.
Doesn't bother them.
And remember, in heat, Pat, you know the famous story of a dog can smell a bitch in heat miles and miles away, and it's like one part per million coming off the female dog, and the dog miles away can smell that, you see, through the air. And obviously that's for reproductive purposes, because evolution is always about optimizing things, you know, for reproduction usually.
We marvel at the dolphin.
We do.
Because it's obviously intelligent, it appears to converse, it's very human friendly, but it has a superpower.
Yeah, the echolocation, just like the bat. it can echolocate. And amazingly, but recently, again, this is recent stuff, like an ultrasound. So a dolphin can sense stuff buried in the sand, and it might be something that wants to go after, like prey or something. It can see through the sand, basically. And it could detect, amazingly, they've done this with pregnant women, get this, the dolphin can actually probably see the fetus, like an ultrasound machine can.
Oh my goodness.
Because it can see through the tissue, as it were, you know. So dolphins have
if
evolved.
If only it could talk. It's a boy!
Well, that's right, exactly. You can use it as a way to tell if it's a boy or a girl. But very elaborate. And 300 feet away, it can see this stuff, by the way. So that just shows how sensitive that particular sensor is.
The harbour seal has whiskers, but what for?
This is my favourite part of them all, to be honest. Yeah. Did you know, the harbour seal, 80 whiskers, first of all. I bet you didn't know seals had whiskers.
No.
At the end of each whisker, there are 1,600 sensors, can you believe it, which can pick up things in the distance, fish and movement and so on. These sensors seem to be somehow sensing movement through the water. And what it means is when they're going after fish, if a shoal of fish changes direction, those sensors on the end of the whiskers can exactly detect that and know exactly where to go and home in. Like 102 football fields away, by the way, but they've measured this.
So they can detect where the fish has been.
Absolutely. They can see where it's been and where it's going and then go after it using these whiskers. And so someone said to me earlier, don't let them shave, pal. If a seal was to use a Gillette 2 razor, it couldn't sense these things anymore. You know, so the whiskers have to be kept intact, you see.
Now, what about the elephant?
Yes, exactly. Now, that's another good one. So elephants have remarkable powers of sensing vibrations, and they can pick up what's called 14 hertz, that frequency, through their feet in the ground, right? Humans, we need 1,000 hertz often in terms of vibrations to pick things up. We can't pick up lower frequencies, but the elephant can sense 9 miles away, Pat. If a tree falls over and hits the ground, the elephant can sense it through its feet. Isn't that good? And these tests,
and they ask themselves, if no one's there to hear it, did it actually make a noise?
Well, that's right. And the big question is, why are they doing this? You see, they're herbivores. It's not for hunting. You think it might be if one of their prey falls over, they'd go after it. But it's not that, because they're herbivores. It could be mating. That as usual, Pat, they think maybe the female elephant's fallen over. And because it's drunk or something, needs to be taken advantage of. So I don't know what the reason is, but it could be more to do with mating than anything
else.
And
we know at the time of the tsunami, the elephants made for high ground.
Absolutely. Now, that was very interesting, because the elephants could sense that wave coming. They could detect the change in the vibration through their feet and moved inland exactly to move away from the devastation that tsunami would have caused.
Now, there are some fierce creatures out there with a bite. We all know about jaws, but what sort of power have they got to cut through things?
Now, again, Pat, you wonder what scientists do with their time, don't you? Scientists have gone out to measure how powerful different jaws are in different animals, just as a biological question. And the great white, our favourite movie, Fat Jaws, that has the strongest bite of anything in nature, okay? It can crush stones and it can crush metal with its jaws, right?
Yeah.
And obviously it's doing it because it's eating things, you see. It's 4,000 pounds per square inch, if anybody wants to know how crushing that great white's jaw is. And again, some brave scientist, can you imagine, went out and tried to figure out what this was, you see, and detected this massive force in the jaws of a great white shark. So that movie was probably correct then, you know.
Yeah. And close behind, the saltwater crocodile.
Yeah, they're dangerous as well. And again, these scientists invented a device, but the guy who did it, like a bathroom scales, so you could put in between the teeth the jaws of the crocodile, a bit on it, and measure the displacement, I guess. And that was almost as good as the shark. That was 3,700 pounds per
square
inch.
Just shy of the shark at 4,000.
Just shy of the shark. It's number two in the jaw, in the strength of the jaws. Hip parade.
Hippopotamus is a herbivore. Doesn't he eat people? But if it did...
Yeah, absolutely.
It could chomp you in two.
Yeah, that's it at 1,800 pounds per square inch. Now, that will be doing it to defend themselves, because as you said, they eat plants. So they're not doing it to eat, unlike jaws, the shark, that's to kill its prey. These creatures just defend themselves. And it's big. Hippopotamuses are difficult to kill, by the way. Crocodiles go after them, you see. And in nature, being red in tooth and claw, the hippo bites through the crocodile. And it can bite a crocodile in two. That's how powerful the jaw of the hippo is. So again, that evolved to stop it being preyed upon by other animals, I suppose. And that's why their jaws evolved.
Because the hippos are always in the water. And
absolutely.
So too are the crocodiles.
Yeah, exactly.
And finally, on four legs, fleet of foot, the jaguar.
The jaguar.
Our sponsor, by the way.
Oh, is that right? Very good. Yes. Well, the jaguar, 1,500 pounds per square inch, you see, which is a lot of force, by the way, if anybody measures these things. And it's mainly to crush skulls. So when it's eating its prey, it crushes the skull, you see, kills its prey, yeah, and then eats up the brains and the rest of the animal. And then nature is vicious at times, but that's quite happy. That's what the jaguar lives off. So the jaguar is number four in the strength of jaws, hip parade. And again, you can imagine about evolution that the muscles had to evolve. Really powerful muscles. And the teeth, you see, remember. And in fact, in the great white shark, the teeth are almost like stones. They're made of calcium. And they bite into things, you know, with that powerful jaw. So again, evolution in action allows the shark to behave that way.
So your message to us all is...
always be amazed by nature. Now, that's the thing. But these creatures are wonderful, remember. And just because they're eating stuff, they've got to make a living, haven't they? You know, so we shouldn't criticise them.
Be careful out there.
Be careful out
Luke
there
O'Neill,
as well.
Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us.